We have set it down as a law to ourselves to examine things to the bottom, and not to receive upon credit or reject upon probability until these have passed a due examination. Bacon's Natural History. Anything proposed at this late day as a new contribution to the history and purpose of Freemasonry should be accompanied by the best of credentials. And yet the very fact of its being new may preclude almost any evidence except what it bears within itself, so that the most one can do is to state what appears to be a truth, show how it has become such to him, and then rely upon it being apprehended by others. In offering to the craft this essay, which in its main proposition may seem altogether new and perhaps revolutionary, all that is asked for it is the application of a primary Masonic rule of action. A strange brother coming into a community is not received as such on his own reputation, but neither is he discarded. Let the same method by which he is duly accepted as a member of the fraternity be applied to the views here expressed. It is the only way in which they will become true to other persons. Should these views appear to any reader like an attempt to overthrow some of the most ancient landmarks of the fraternity, the assurance is given that such is not the writer's purpose. Rather, it is an effort to restore to the order the original patent or charter of Freemasonry, thus making it possible to verify or correct all its landmarks. In reflecting upon the work in lodge meetings and its exemplification in the lives of brethren, these questions often presented themselves. What is the purpose of it all? Is its full purpose understood? Are the results commensurate with the ideals of expectations? And to answer these questions was not an easy matter. There is a feeling abroad which must be widespread, as its expression can be traced through many Masonic journals, that something is wanting in the working of the order. Either there is a misconception as to its origin and object, or errors have crept into the exposition of the work. At any rate, it seemed worth some study to ascertain whether there might not be a reasonable explanation for such conditions. It is apparent to many of the most zealous and loyal Masons that the discussions and uncertainty as to the origin of their order is placing it on the defensive and is a handicap to its progress. In these days of libraries and general reading, the influence of standard works of popular education cannot be ignored. At the beginning of the article on Freemasonry in the New International Encyclopedia, after a passing reference to the claims made for the antiquity of the order, the statement is made that the order, however, is now considered to have been instituted about the early part of the 18th century. The pretensions put forth to a date coeval with the building of the temple at Jerusalem, with King Solomon as its first Grand Master, being considered by those who have thoroughly investigated the subject as not worthy of credit. In the New Encyclopedia Britannica, the article on Freemasonry was written by William James Hugan, recently deceased, a recognized authority on questions pertaining to Masonry. After noting that the Mother Grand Lodge is that of England, which was inaugurated in the metropolis on St. John the Baptist's Day, 1717, and that a Grand Lodge was founded in Ireland in 1725 and in Scotland in 1736, he states, "It is important to bear in mind that all the regular lodges throughout the world, likewise all the Grand Lodges, directly or indirectly, have sprung from one or the other of these three governing bodies named." Continuing, he says, "It may be a startling declaration, but it is well authenticated, that there is no other Freemasonry, as the term is now understood, than what has been so derived. In other words, the lodges and grand lodges in both hemispheres trace their origin and authority back to England for working what is known as the Three Degrees, controlled by regular grand lodges." Yet in face of all this, the general work and reputation of the order is based on the assumption that modern Freemasonry is something very ancient. Studies extending over a number of years led to a generalization so remarkable that at first it seemed incredible, as no doubt it will to many other persons. But it grew so clear and definite, accounting for an origin of the order consistent with the known facts, furnishing a reasonable explanation for the difficulties which beset it, and giving such an exalted conception of Freemasonry, that its truth could scarcely be questioned.